We gather in the Lord's house this day on a day of celebration and a day of remembrance. Let us prepare our hearts to meet our Savior this day. Good morning. It is good to gather in the Lord's house this day. It is a special day. It is Graduate Sunday here at First Baptist Elon. It is also a weekend where we remember. We remember this Memorial Day weekend, those who have given their lives in line of service. So it is a bittersweet day. It is a day that we are called to reflect. We are called to celebrate. As we gather here at First Baptist Church of Elon, we want to welcome all those who have gathered to worship with us this morning. We see many family and friends who are here gathered with our graduates to celebrate this day with you. Thank you for being here with us. If you are a first-time visitor with us, we want you to fill out a visitor card that is located in the pew in front of you. You can drop it off in the offering plate as it goes by a little bit later on in the service, so we can just have a record of your visit with us this morning. You'll also notice in your bulletin many other opportunities coming up in the weeks ahead. I do want you to remind you that we do not have any evening activities tonight. You also notice in your bulletin that we have a scheduled event that was scheduled for this Tuesday. However, that fun and fellowship trip to Mount Airy has been postponed to a later date. Many of you have heard this morning and got the message this weekend. Our administrative assistant, Janice Summers, her mother passed away late Friday night. The arrangement for that funeral service, the visitation will be Monday night from 6 to 8 p.m. at Lau's Funeral Home. The funeral will be on Tuesday at 11 o'clock at the chapel at Lau's Funeral Home. Please keep her in your prayers. She covers your prayers. I had a chance to visit with her yesterday afternoon. She says she feels your prayers, and she sends her love, and she appreciates the love. But we will postpone that trip on Tuesday, and just be in prayer for her, be in prayer for the staff as we fill her huge shoes that she fills. Trust me, we have been a band-aid to all the work that she does here at First Baptist Church of Elon in the weeks to come. So just be in prayer for her as well. Some other things that are coming up in the life of church. The church office will be closed tomorrow for Memorial Day. However, some work will be getting done at the church this week. Jerry asked if anybody is available from about 3 to 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. We're doing some movement in the Sunday school classrooms upstairs to clean those rooms a little bit, to do some cleaning up there. So if you're able for an hour tomorrow afternoon, if you want to come by and help, see Jerry. He'll give you a little bit more details on that. Next Sunday should be an exciting day for our RA Pinewood Derby. This is our alumni event. It'll start at 4 o'clock next Sunday afternoon. An exciting race upstairs in the Fellowship Hall, followed by a cookout. Everyone is invited. It should be an exciting day. Please come out and enjoy that experience here at First Baptist Elon. Also, we want to remind you, and Reggie shared details about this as well, if you did not receive a pastor search survey last Sunday, there will be some available in the foyer as you leave this morning. Those surveys should be returned in the same envelope to the basket in the foyer by Sunday, June 9th. So please prayerfully consider filling those out, picking one of those up, and returning it to the basket as soon as you can, but by Sunday, June 9th. That's when we need those back as well. We also are excited. As many of you were at the roundtable meeting last Sunday, Norman Harris, Reverend Norman Harris, former pastor here, will be beginning, is the interim here next Sunday morning. So Norman will be in the pulpit starting next Sunday, and he'll be meeting with the staff starting this week as we start preparing as we move forward here at First Baptist Elon. So we're excited about that. Many other things are coming up in the life of our church. You will be hearing more through emails and through newsletter that will be running late this next month, so be in prayer for that as well. I'm just giving you a heads up on that, but it is good to gather in the Lord's house this day. Now I want to turn it over to Gay, who's going to introduce a speaker that she might know a little bit about.
Well, it is my pleasure and honor to introduce our speaker for this morning. I've known him all of his life. For 29 years, almost 30 years, it is my son, Jonathan Collins. He got his undergraduate degree from the University of West Alabama and got his seminary degree from Theological Seminary. I'll get the right term here in a minute. And outside of Lexington, Kentucky, a little town called Wilmore, Kentucky. And he has served two churches in Alabama, and he presently serves two churches in West Virginia. And in Enterprise, West Virginia, in Enterprise United Methodist Church and Victor Chapel Methodist Church up the road, a few miles up the road. He is a man of God. I knew when he was about 7 that he was going to be a man of God. And he was baptized at the age of 7. And I knew then that he was going to be a preacher. And I couldn't be a more prouder mother than I am right now. It is an honor to stand here with him, and I hope you will be blessed as much as I will be blessed.
Jonathan, thank you for being with us this morning. We look forward to hearing the word God has placed in your heart this morning. Our opening scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us, that your way may be known upon earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase, God. Our God has blessed us. May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere him. As we reflect on these words of God's graciousness, let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. God, be gracious to us and bless us. Cover us with the radiance of your grace. Make your ways be known everywhere, in the hidden places of our heart, in the comfort of our homes, in every corner of this world, in the farthest reaches of creation. You transform us. You heal our lives. You renew the earth, and you restore your creation. Let our praises shake the rafters of your creation. God, we remember with joy that you bring with your Spirit in worship, and we can't wait to see how your Spirit will move in this place today. That is why we have gathered. We anticipate it. We expect it. May we be moved. We lift this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, hymn number 579, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Graduate Sunday is a Sunday that our graduates anxiously look forward to. Am I right? It is a day that I heard as they were talking in my office, I think I heard one of our graduates say, "I am never going back to school again. I am done. I am finished." That was the master's graduate over here. The other three didn't say that, parents, family members. But it is a day that we look forward to celebrating here at First Baptist Elon. As I look down at these young ladies, I will say, I think this is the first year, a first graduate Sunday year, that we have only ladies. This is the first in years. There you go. Brandon's like, yes, there you go. And it is a day that I look forward to because I get to look down at this front pew, and what I see is many, many years of many, many years of ministry. I see many, many years of events and exciting trips and Bible studies. And what I also see as I look down at this front pew is I see many gifts. Gifts that God has placed in the lives of young ladies that have been nurtured by family members and teachers and this church for many years that have matured to the point of celebration. So I want to say on behalf of First Baptist Church of Elon, congratulations. You deserve that congratulations. So let's have a round of applause for all of our graduates this morning. And each of you are going to have an opportunity at the end of the service to congratulate each of these graduates individually. But now I'm going to invite them to come forward one at a time to share their name and where they're graduating from. Also, what their future plans might hold. If they know what their future plans might hold. If they don't know, just say, "God knows and I don't." So that's how we place it in our hands. We do have a token of our appreciation, our congratulations on behalf of the church. What I will be giving to you, I will be giving you a Bible. This is something that we want you to use to guide you from this point forward because it is God's word and it will be a resource, a tool that you can use for your entire life long. Also giving you another book to read. All those books you had to read, this is a book I want you to read that will also provide guidance that challenges you. Something else I'll be providing you is a devotional, something that you can spend some time alone with God in on a daily basis for the next year. And last but not least is something that has been crafted by the hands of some individuals in our church. We have a crochet group that each year they hand design and hand create an afghan. And each one of these is in the colors of the school that you are graduating from or the school that you are growing to or a color that is your favorite color. They all have significant influence. Some of them are crafted maybe by even one of your family members. So at this time, we're going to call you up one by one. Our first graduate, our lone high school graduate this year, is Macon Carroll.
All right, so hi, I'm Macon Carroll.
You have to talk loud.
Okay, louder. I just graduated this past Friday from Burlington Christian Academy. And the next 4 years for me, I'll be attending East Carolina University as a part of the EC Scholars Program, and my intended major is clinical laboratory science, and then I'm hoping to minor in political science. And I wanted to say thank you to all of you for showing me constant love and support even before my family and I were actually members here. I've always felt very supported by all of you, so thank you.
Megan, I'm going to ask you to stop for a second. Okay. One thing I forgot to say is we're going to ask family members to stand when their graduate says, so family, stand up. Round of applause for the family as well. One thing Macon did not share, she graduated as valedictorian from BCA this year. Our next college graduate, Sophia Allred.
My name is Sophia. I am graduating from Alamance Community College with my cosmetology associate's degree, but I will be still at ACC finishing up my business major, hopefully by next year or the following year.
Thank you. Our next college graduate, Brandy Brenner.
You did it too. Hi, everybody. I'm Brandy Brenner.
Hi.
So 4 years ago, I stood up here and introduced this little guy. He was much smaller, yes, as we all imagined. So I graduated from a really tiny private university you've probably never heard of, Elon University. I know, little, tiny. I just want to thank everyone who helped me, supported me get through everything. It was not easy. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for working so hard so that I had the opportunity to have such a great education. Thank you, Mama, for the babysitting. And Babe, thank you so much for holding me at night during my panic attacks for research papers. They were awesome. Sorry, wrong word. And is Debbie Wall here? Is she in here?
She's here, not today.
Well, giant thank you to Debbie Wall, who convinced me my life was not in shambles every time I showed up in her office. And lastly, thanks for letting me psychoanalyze everyone in my family without being offended. I'm really sorry about that. Yeah, thank you. Thanks, guys.
And our lone master's graduate, Emily Barefoot.
I am Emily Barefoot. It's weird. I think it's only the second time I've said that name in here. I am graduating from UNCG with a master's in special education with a focus on inclusion. I plan to stay at the same job and do the same thing, but now just hopefully a little bit better. And as David said earlier, I am never going back to school. So this is the last time I will be doing graduation Sunday. But thank you guys so much for everything that you've poured into me since we were in second grade, since I was in second grade. So a very, very long time. It is much appreciated, and I would not be here without you.
Again, let's have a round of applause for all our graduates. Tradition here is for our graduates to have a presentation of pictures through the years and through these struggle years of school. So we're going to have that, and Casey's going to come and share a song that we always sing, the Friends.
to live as friends. With the faith and love God's given, springing from the home we know, we will pray the joy that now you show, but we'll keep you close as always. It won't even seem you've gone, 'cause our hearts in big and small ways will keep the love that keeps us strong. And friends are friends forever, if the Lord's the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never, 'cause the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. And friends are friends forever, if the Lord's the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never, 'cause the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go, that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. No, a lifetime's not too long to live as friends.
Our hymn of praise this morning is 629, God of Our Fathers, and we'll sing the first and last stanza. Let's stand.
Been the least bit emotional until today. I don't know what it is about seeing photos set to music that for some reason will make you cry, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, you you bring us together on a day where we celebrate accomplishments, turning of pages to new unwritten chapters. And we thank you that you go with not only these graduates, but each of us. Every time we walk out the doors of this church, while we're here, goodness, we can't go anywhere without you being there. We are so grateful. We also come today to recognize those that have made ultimate sacrifices on behalf of this country, and we are grateful for that. Lord, we pray that as we've heard how this church has ministered to and supported graduates as they've come, that we would give freely so that that can continue to happen, but that not just giving to our own, but giving outside the walls of this church into the community and into the world. Lord, we pray that you would take the meager things that we can give and do amazing things with them. In your son's precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Our second scripture reading today is one verse. It comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 13. It's a verse I think is very fitting for Memorial Day, this Memorial Day weekend. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. Oftentimes, I think we come to Memorial Day weekend, we think about a day off of work. We think about the beginning of the summer holiday. We think about a time to escape to the beach, or we think about a time to gather around and with family and friends and cook out. We fail to forget, and I'm as guilty as anyone, to remember what this holiday was set aside for. May 30th, 1868, at Arlington National Cemetery, the very first National Memorial Day was set. Coming out of the Civil War, a war that divided a country from the South, from the North, a war that divided people, divided families, the nation needed to be brought back together. The nation needed to be reminded that people needed to come together and remember that people sacrifice their lives for the good of a nation. So the country came together. May 30th, 1868, at Arlington National Cemetery. And they decorated the crosses, the tombs of the soldiers. And what began as a simple holiday spread from year to year, and now has become a tradition at Arlington National Cemetery, and has become a national tradition to remember the soldiers of those who have lost their lives, the greatest sacrifice that one can give and remembering and recalling and allowing us to remember the freedoms that we hold so true. A freedom like we are celebrating right here today. The freedom to worship. That is what Memorial Day is all about. It's about Army Chief Warrant Jonathan R. Farmer of Florida. It's about Navy Chief Cryptologist Shannon M. Kent of New York. It's about Defense Intelligence Specialist Scott A. Wirtz of Missouri, who were killed in a bombing in Syria in January, defending our country for the freedom to worship, the freedom to gather, the freedom that we celebrate right here today. That's what Memorial Day is all about. So many others, not just these three names, but so many others have sacrificed their lives. Many of them are names in our families, names in our neighborhoods or our friends. For many years, not just this generation, for many generations in the past. So today, here at First Baptist Elon, we remember those names. We honor those names. We honor those soldiers, those men and women who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. So at this time, I'll ask if our congregation will stand in honor of those men and women who've paid the ultimate sacrifice this Memorial Day. Please stand. If you would, bow your heads, and we're going to have a moment of silence, and then I'll close this in a word of prayer, reading a poem by Kelly Strong that's called Freedom Is Not Free. I watched the flag pass by one day. It fluttered in the breeze. A young Marine saluted it, and then he stood at ease. I looked at him in uniform, so young, so tall, so proud. He'd stand out in any crowd. I thought how many men like him had fallen through the years. How many died on foreign soil. How many mothers' tears. How many pilots' planes shot down, how many died at sea, how many foxholes were soldiers' graves. No, freedom isn't free. I heard the sound of taps one night when everything was still. I listened to the bugler play and felt a sudden chill. I wondered just how many times that taps had meant amen when a flag had draped a coffin of a brother or a friend. I thought of all the children, of the mothers and the wives, of fathers, sons, and husbands with interrupted lives. I thought about a graveyard at the bottom of the sea, of unmarked graves in Arlington. No, freedom isn't free. For the ultimate sacrifice that was paid. And all God's people said, Amen. You may be seated.
Due to some technical difficulties, the song that is in your bulletin is not the one that I'll be singing this morning. But all night last night, this particular song was on my heart, and after talking with the preacher this morning, I brought two or three other songs because I didn't have the one in the bulletin. I wasn't able to get it on a CD. And God just kept saying, you need to sing this one, you need to sing this one. And so I brought this one and a couple of others, and I presented it, and he said, this is one I want you to sing. And I didn't say that to him, so I really feel like God's intention is for you to hear the words of this song this morning. And I hope that even if one person needs to hear it, that's the way God moves and that's the way God works. So just hope that this blesses you.
Thank you.
see shattered, you see whole. I see broken, you see beautiful. And you're helping me to believe. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy.
Please talk to me. I come from a church where we talk to each other, so I'm not scared to hear y'all. But this morning, it is a pleasure to be with you all. As my mom said, I am Jonathan Collins, here from Enterprise, West Virginia. I would challenge you to try to find that on a map. You're not going to. That's how small it is. from it. But this morning, I'm going to bring you the word of God from James chapter 4. It says 1 through 17 in the bulletin. Due to time constraints and me trying to shorten this message as much as I can, we're going to read verses 1 through 10 together. So if you would, hear these verses this morning. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from the cravings that are at war within you? You want something you do not have, so you commit murder. And you covet something you cannot obtain. And so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is the enemy of God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it is for nothing that the scripture says God yearns jealously for the spirit that he has made dwell in us? But he gives us all the more grace. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter turn into mourning, and your joy into dejection. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. If you would, join with me in this prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we dig into this text this morning with what little bit of time we have together, Father, your words speak through me. God, I ask that you open our hearts, our minds, our ears, our eyes, so that we can hear and see you in this text. Lord, we be reminded what this weekend is really about. Father, it's about those who have given their lives for us to have these freedoms that we do. And when I reflect on that, God, I thank you for Jesus and him paying the ultimate sacrifice for us to be here this morning, worshiping, celebrating you. Father, we thank you for the gift of graduation, for the degrees that are in hand, the ones that are to come. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. So I was starting this off a little bit differently than I intended. In communication, if you study that, you're told that the only thing people remember from a talk are the beginning and the end. So that's kind of where we're going to focus this morning, is in the beginning and the end. And I challenge you with this. Think with me about the game Follow the Leader. We played that as kids. It's the title of the message. You had a leader in a line. The classroom would line up behind him. You would walk and they would do certain things, and the class was to mimic the leader till it got down to the leader and one follower. And then that follower would become the leader and the game would repeat itself. So this morning, if you would, I kind of want you to join with me in this. I have three gestures in hand. See if you can follow me in what we do. And if you watch baseball, I'm an avid sports fan. Maybe you'll notice the first one, especially from Dominican players. They do this if they get a hit or they get a base. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Following the leader, they make a cross gesture. If you grow up in charismatic churches, I've gone to a few, maybe you'll see people wave their hands when they're worshiping. It's called glory hands. Or maybe if you would, if you go to the beach culture, you do a thing called a shaka. I'm guilty of doing this all the time. I had guys, friends in seminary that we would do it to each other. So do that, but if you can bring your two fingers together with me, like this, turn it, and then just do a forward and back motion. And I'm laughing at Mr. Bryan because what we just did was cheer on the South Carolina Gamecocks. And if we're being honest, we have not had much to cheer about in the last 25 years, if that. It's the wrong finger, he says. We won't do that one in church. But about me again, I'm from West Virginia, and this morning, when I was asked to talk with y'all, I knew it was Memorial Day weekend. And as David's already covered, When we think about Memorial Day, we tend to think of the vacations that start. Summer's here, graduation's ending. It's the barbecues, it's the games. It's everything, but we really forget of what it's really about. Remembering those who are no longer with us, those who had given their lives for us to be here. So I was thinking in Scripture, what could we talk about? And I thought of Stephen, who gave his life for his friends. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, were his last words. But then David says, well, it's going to be graduation Sunday. And if you can work both of them in together, that would be great. If not, we'll see. So the theme that I have, the message that we'll talk about for the next couple of minutes, who leads your life? Because based on the leader that you follow, that's going to determine the outlook that you have. And I believe this, if you follow the wrong leader, it affects your body, it affects your mind, and it affects your soul. When I say this, the body, starting off briefly, what I mean by that, it's not that we'll get warts, we'll get moles, we'll get skin irritations or sunburn, but it's kind of what Paul talks about in Romans 12:5, where he says, so we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually, we are members of one body. Together, we are one body. We are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. We are the body. We are the church. And if we're the body, that means Christ is the head. That's what Scripture tells us. But if we don't follow Jesus, if he's not the head and we're not following him, notice what James says. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they come from your cravings that are at war within you? See, war happens in both the physical and the spiritual. It's both external and it's internal. And I believe this. Spiritual internal warfare, it may be one of the biggest battles we'll ever face in life. We'll face eternal conflicts. Graduates, you'll listen to people who will tell you things. You'll experience what psychology, Brandy studied that, I did too. Good job. Eternal conflict can lead into cognitive dissonance, which is defined as this. Holding conflicting and inconsistent thoughts, beliefs, attitudes over relationships, work, commitments, religious beliefs, morality, and social ideologies. As we age, as we grow, as we work and be around other people, we'll clash over different things. It won't line up with what we believe and what we see. An internal conflict will happen. War will happen within the spiritual and the internal. And that can affect the mind. See, I believe the mind, it's a beautiful thing. And we should not waste what God has given to us. He asks us to think, to believe, to trust, to know. And I believe that if we're doing these things, what James would say, verse 2, you have not because you ask not. So if we're asking for the Lord to be with us, to guide us, to lead us, then he will. But notice in verse 3 what James says. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. So if I were to say that in layman's terms, it would be this. We don't pray to win the lottery. Some of us are guilty of that. I think I have once or twice. We don't pray to pass the class. I am definitely guilty of that one, especially if we didn't put the effort in to study the material. Lord, if you just get me through this class, I promise I'll do better next year. Doesn't work like that. Because our desire and God's doesn't line up together. But if they line up, we're on a path. We're following the leader that makes sense for us. See, every obstacle you'll face, I believe this, graduates, God's word has an answer for it. Search the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is inspired by God, is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. Paul would tell Timothy, know your word. Know the word, and that will guide you for the rest of your life. Then how does it affect the soul? In closing, I say this. If you call yourself Christian, that means we have work to do. Not the graduates, not those who have passed away, but us living currently, professing the name of Jesus Christ. We have work to do, because what I see around us as a minister, as I talk and listen with others, and the struggles they go through, I see soul issues. There are too many people who think they know Jesus, but in reality, they have no idea who he truly is. Too many people who say, I follow Christ, but if you were to look at their checkbook, their lifestyle, who and when they spend their time and money and resources, God is nowhere in the picture of that equation. Matthew 7, 21 through 23, Jesus says this. Not anyone or everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Cast out demons in your name? Do many deeds in the power of your name? And then I will declare to them, Christ, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. Friends, as a pastor, as a minister, as a Christian, words like that, chapters like that, Matthew 7, it keeps me up at night, because we have soul issues in the church. And I, for one, I don't want to let the time that God has given me to pass without telling others the good news of Jesus Christ, the leader of my life, and hopefully who's leading your life as well. So if you hear nothing else this morning, hear this as we close. Following the wrong leader will eventually, maybe not right away, but will eventually lead to destruction. But following the right leader, that will lead to life everlasting. If you would, join with me in this prayer as we close. So, Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that I can take an hour and a half sermon and shorten it down to 8 minutes. And hopefully speak your word and truth through the time that we have together. God, we thank you for Jesus and that he is the leader. And I pray that in our lives and the paths we're on, we follow you always. God, be with our graduates as they pursue these next steps in life, or if they're like Emily and are done. Father, we thank you for that possibility as well. But I ask, Lord, that you be with all of us today and every day. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Follow the right leader. Will you remain standing as our choir leads us in our benediction, and then as our graduates recess out, I know you want to speak to them as you leave this morning.